Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter 4, Text 33. Nodvigna chito vyasaneshu nishpriha nodvigna chito vyasaneshu spriha. Try it again. Nodvigna chito vyasaneshu nishpriha. Shruteshu dristeshu gunesh vavash dudrik. Datendriya prana sarira di sada. Prasanta kamo rahita suro sura. Nodvigna chito vyasaneshu nispriha. Shruteshu dristeshu gunesh vavastu drik. Dantendriya prana sharira di sada. Prasanta kamo rahita suro sura. Nodvigna chito vyasaneshu nispriha. Sruteshu dristeshu gunesh vavastudrik. Dantendriya prana sarira di sada. Prasanta kamo rahita suro sura. Others. Na, not. Udvigna, agitated. Jitta, whose consciousness? Vyasaneshu, in dangerous conditions. Nishpriha, without desire. Shruteshu, in things heard of, especially elevation to the heavenly planets because of pious activities. Dristeshu, as well as in temporal things seen. Guneshu, the objects of sense gratification under the modes of material nature. Avastudrik, seeing as if insubstantial. Danta, controlling. Indriya, the senses. Prana, the living force. Sharira, the body. Di, and intelligence. Sada, always. Prasanta, quieted. Kama, whose material desires. Rahita, completely devoid of. Asura, demoniac nature. Asura, although born in a demoniac family. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Although Prahlad Maharaj was born in a family of asuras, he himself was not an asura, but a great devotee of Lord Vishnu. Unlike the other asuras, he was never envious of Vaishnavas. He was not agitated when put into danger, and he was neither directly nor indirectly interested in fruitive activities described in the Vedas. Indeed, he considered everything material to be useless, and therefore he was completely devoid of material desires. He always controlled his senses and life air, and being of steady intelligence and determination, he subdued all lusty desires. Purport. From this verse, we discover that a man is not disqualified or qualified simply by birth. Prahlad Maharaj was an asura by birth, yet he possessed all the qualities of a perfect brahmana, brahmanya sila sampanna. Anyone can become a fully qualified brahmana under the direction of a spiritual master. Prahlad Maharaj provided a vivid example of how to think of the spiritual master and accept his directions calmly. Om Aginata Manam Dasha Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshurim Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. So, first I'd just like to give a little background information about Prahlad Maharaj. Maybe some of this has been mentioned before, because there's quite a few chapters, you know, leading into this past time here. So anyway, Prahlad Maharaj was a Mahabhagavat from birth. Notice he was a great devotee, a highly advanced devotee, even before he took birth. Even before he was in the womb of his mother, he was a highly advanced devotee, and he became an even more advanced devotee during that period as well. The story goes like this, that his father was most likely off performing austerities, because when Prabhupada describes it, it's described that at that point, Indra and the demigods had the upper hand. They were like, you know, there was a battle going on between Hiranyakasipu and his forces and Indra and the demigods. So at that point, the demigods had the upper hand. As I said, I imagine it was when Hiranyakasipu was away performing austerities. But in any event, what happened was at one point, the Indra and the other demigods were coming to capture the wife of Hiranyakasipu. Her name was Kayadu. And this happened to be observed by Narada Muni. He saw them, and he stopped them, and he said, "What are you doing? What's going on here? You know, this is like you're capturing a woman and dragging her off." And then the demigods explained, "No, we have no interest in this woman. It's just that she's the mother, she's the wife of Hiranyakasipu, and she's pregnant with his son. You know, so we want he's going to be his father's a big demon, and this kid's going to be a demon. So we want to wait till she gives birth and then kill him." That was the logic. So Narada Muni said to them, no. He said, no, this in her womb is a great devotee. He's a Mahabhagavat. And because he was Narada Muni and not just any old ordinary person, they deferred to his authority. They accepted that, you know, he's a spiritual authority, and if he says so, that must be the case. So they released Narada Muni, they released the wife of Hiranyakasipu Kayadu into the custody of Narada Muni. And Narada Muni took her to his ashram and, to give her shelter until her husband returned. And I think before she accepted that offer, she asked for a benediction that her son would not be born until her husband returned, because she was fearful that, they would come and kill him, basically, even though she was there with Narada Muni. So anyway, so Narada Muni offered her that benediction. So Prahlad Maharaj was staying, Prahlad Maharaj was staying in the womb of his mother, who was staying in the ashram of Narada Muni. And Narada Muni was instructing his mother in the Bhagavatam, in this philosophy. And Prahlad Maharaj was also hearing, and he was benefiting from this instruction. And Prabhupada gives this as an example of a hoitakiya pratyata. This is no material impediment. Somehow or another, Prahlad Maharaj was able to hear the instruction of Narada Muni and understand it and assimilate it and benefit from it, advance spiritually by that instruction given by Narada Muni, even while he was in the womb of his mother, who, by the way, forgot it. She didn't remember the instructions. It's mentioned later on. But anyway, so right from the time of birth, he was a great Mahabhagavat. He it's mentioned here how he had no interest in fruitive activities, either directly or indirectly. I guess maybe that must be referring to at a later point in his life, because a five-year-old kid wouldn't, you'd think that a five-year-old kid wouldn't have much interest in fruitive activities, directly or indirectly. And it's describing here how he always controlled his senses and life here and was of steady intelligence and determination. He subdued all lusty desires. Maybe that's referring to, once again, later in his life, because those things don't seem to be so, apply so much or be so relevant in the life of a five-year-old child or younger. But there is some information about Prahlad, even as a very, young boy, that's given in different verses in the Bhagavatam and lectures that Prabhupada gave on these verses. So a couple significant things are that one thing is he was not interested in playing. And Prabhupada said in one lecture he gave on the Bhagavatam this is actually stated in this chapter here, in text 37, that Prabhupada says that it's virtually impossible for a child not to be interested in playing. But Prahlad Maharaj was not at all interested in playing. He was always absorbed in thought of Krishna. The Sanskrit it's used as Naisargiki Rati. He had a natural attachment for Krishna. And also in that purport, Prabhupada described how, just like he gave a nice example. He said, just like a jaundiced person, he sees everything yellow because of that disease condition. So in the same way, Prahlad saw everything in relation to Krishna. He just saw everything in relation to Krishna. And also Prabhupada mentions he was influenced by the Krishna planet. And he was giving another example, just like somebody might say, their attempt to be successful in some effort was not possible because he was being influenced by Rahu or Ketu or one of these inauspicious planets. So in the same way, Prahlad was influenced by the Krishna planet. So everything he did was kind of came out Krishna conscious somehow or another. So another thing was, I'm trying to present this in chronological order. When he was being tortured by his father, he was, according to Prabhupada, in a lecture he gave in Mayapur on 1976, basically he wasn't oblivious. In other words, he realized something was going on here, but he wasn't thinking that his father was trying to torture him. Prabhupada said here, this is an excerpt from the lecture, he says, Prahlad's thinking like this: he is my father, he is joking, that's all. So he wasn't actually thinking that, my father's trying to torture me. He was just like so absorbed in Krishna and so Krishna conscious, he couldn't even perceive it as that his father was, being malicious or envious towards him. And but that's another symptom of the Mahabhagavat, which Prahlad Maharaj will say, see everybody as serving Krishna, as being, they see the good qualities. They see everybody serving Krishna except for themselves. So Prahlad had that vision. He never forgot Krishna in any circumstance, despite all the different ways in which his father was torturing him and trying to kill him. And also another interesting example was when after Lord Nrisingadev killed Hiranyakasipu, the demigods, headed by Lord Brahma, they requested Prahlad Maharaj to pacify Lord Nrisingadev, because Lord Nrisingadev was still, even after he killed Hiranyakasipu and so many of his followers, his army or soldiers like that, he was still like burning with anger. You know, he was like really, really still worked up. So much so that the demigods were afraid to approach him. They didn't dare approach him. So Lord Brahma, as the spokesperson for the demigods, approached Prahlad and said, okay, you please approach him and, see if you can pacify your father. Lord Nrisingadev. And it's described that Prahlad Maharaj, even though he was just a 5-year-old boy, he immediately knew what to do. The Sanskrit is upecha bhuvi kayena. That it's described how he, as soon as Lord Brahma asked him, he just, without any hesitation, he just thought, oh, okay. He just went forward. He offered dandabats. He was only a 5-year-old boy. He just immediately offered dandabats, got up, and started offering prayers. And Prabhupada makes the comment that, this wouldn't have been possible for an ordinary child. Because he said he'd been doing this for lifetimes. So he immediately knew. He just behaved like a pure devotee, instantaneously, without any hesitation, and at 5 years old. So that was pretty interesting. And and throughout his life, he was never attached to any kind of material situation. Another interesting thing was that after Prahlad offered his prayers, Lord Nrisingadev did calm down, and he offered him benedictions. And Prahlad refused, he rejected all the material benedictions. Prabhupada pointed, he's born in Ugrajati, he was born in a demoniac family. So, one might think that, okay, he's born in that family, he's got that, there's a reason for it, and he's got some material desires, and here's his chance, But Prahlad rejected all material, the opportunity to take any material benediction. And quite the contrary, the benediction he did ask for was the liberation of his father, who was his, torturer. I mean, his father was the one who was made so much, created so much difficulty for him. And there he was, when he had the opportunity to ask for anything, any benediction, what does he ask for? He asked for something for the welfare of the person who was making life so difficult for him and so painful for him. Of course, he didn't really even experience it that way because he was in such an elevated state of spiritual consciousness. But that was pretty amazing. And Lord Nrisingadev assured him that not only your father, but his father, his father, his father. Like, I can't remember how many generations it is, but your whole family going back so many generations will be liberated because such a great devotee like you has appeared in that family. So that's just a little background information on Prahlad Maharaj, how he was, such a great devotee even from birth. And also in one lecture in Mayapur on the Bhagavatam, this part of the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada made the point that but every one of us can come to that level of Krishna consciousness. Prahlad Maharaj is a nitya siddha, but he said, Prabhupada was emphasizing at least in that one lecture that how by the practice of devotional service, all of us can come to that, level of Krishna consciousness that Prahlad Maharaj was on. But he also cautioned, don't try to prematurely, sort of assume you're on that platform. It takes something. Prahlad Maharaj was there, but for us it might take, quite a bit of cultivation to come to that. But he assured at least that it is possible. So now here in the purport, Prabhupada makes the point that, says, from this verse we discover that a man is not qualified or disqualified simply by birth. Prahlad was born as an asura by birth, yet he possessed all the qualities of a perfect Brahman. Brahmanya sila sampana. So that's an important point, that birth is not the, the real significant, important factor. What's important is a person's quality. It's the person's quality that's important, not the, not their birth situation. And there's a verse in the Bhagavatam, actually, that Prabhupada encouraged devotees to learn. I didn't, but the Prabhupada memories, I've heard devotees say that Prabhupada, when they're preaching in India, Prabhupada encouraged them to learn this verse. And it goes, this is from the seventh canto as well. It says, yasya ya lakshanam proktam pumso varna bi vajyakam yad anyatrapi drishyeta tat tenaiva vinir diset. And the translation is, if one shows the symptoms of being a brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, or sudra, as described above, even if he has appeared in a different class, he should be accepted according to those symptoms of classification. See, so here it is, you know, Shastric reference to support that point, that what's important is quality, not the external situation, such as, you know, the family you're born into. And there's a very famous pastime, which I won't narrate in its entirety, but just rather refer to, that once Bhakti Siddhanta, I believe it was engaged in a very, lively debate with some smarta Brahmins, and he was defending this particular point. Now, what's important is not the birth and the Brahmin family, but the quality. And he supported it with so many Shastric references, and he was highly successful, at the outcome of this particular debate. Do you remember what happened exactly? Did they applaud him or something? They more than applauded him. Anyway, he was shown a lot of, he was really shown a lot of appreciation because he debated so, eruditely and eloquently on this subject. So anyway, it's a very important point in our philosophy because, this misconception is still, I won't say prominent, but it's still prevalent even within India. You know, they still have this idea of the untouchables, that people are born in a certain social class, that's it. They're just, they're losers, and there's no social mobility. You know, there's no question of them becoming purified or elevated or like that. And, and the contrary of that is that if people are born in a Brahmin family, they think they've, got some sort of special advantage or something like that. No, this is all nonsense. You know, it's the quality is what's important. And it's an important point for us to also meditate on, that what's in our own lives, that what's important is the our quality, that we develop qualities. You know, like we can apply that, this particular teaching to our lives. Now, we shouldn't be interested in external trappings. Like, okay, it's nice if you're, temple president or GBC or a sannyasi or a guru. Okay, wonderful, I mean, these things, it's nice to take responsibility for Prabhupada and, to try to, but those things in and of themselves aren't really, it's not a success to necessarily to be a sannyasi or to be a GBC or to be a guru or be temple command or whatever you are. And what we're concerned about is internal purification. We're concerned about actually developing, really possessing the qualities of a Vaishnav, possessing the qualities of a spiritual personality. And if on top of that, if in addition to that, as in recognition to those qualities where some title or position is conferred upon us, all the better, you see. But if you have to choose between the two, what should I rather be, internally purified or, a sannyasi GBC guru? Then, obviously, we want to be internally purified. Better to be I think Prabhupada says in one purport in the Bhagavad Gita, a simple sweeper in the street than a charlatan meditator. He's kind of, making that same sort of point. Better to have, we want the quality, not the title or the position or anything like that. That's the material world, they're just after all that profit, adoration, and distinction. So we have to be careful, even in devotional service, that we're not losing sight, not losing focus of what it is that we're actually trying to achieve, which is pure devotional service, internal purification, ultimately pure devotional service. And we, not get caught up in striving for, desiring for these external thing, which Lord Chaitanya himself and, in his prayers rejected. Nadanam najanam nasundarim kavitam ba jagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmanishvare bhavatad bhaktir hoitaki twaye, that I have no desire to accumulate wealth, no desire to enjoy beautiful women or have any number of followers. I only want devotional service birth after birth. So basically Lord Chaitanya was making the point that we're not interested in, profit, adoration, and distinction. We're just interested in devotional service, birth after birth, like that. Not even interested in liberation, just pure devotional service, birth after birth. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was praying that he'd rather take birth as an insect in the home, in the family of devotees, than take birth as a non-devotee Lord Brahma. So just to once again emphasize that point. So the next point Prabhupada makes here, the only other point Prabhupada makes here in his purport is that, because he says, one can become a fully qualified Brahmin under the direction of the spiritual master. See, so that's how, you know, even if somebody's born in a low family, and even if the person is born in a low family with low qualities, by association with a pure devotee of the Lord, that person can become purified and become elevated. And of course, there's, you know, two really famous verses that come to mind. There's that one from the Bhagavad Gita, 9th chapter, where Krishna says, Mam hi partham vai pasvritya, yepi suya papayonaya, striya vaishastatasudras, tepianti param gatim. That even one, if one is born in a lower family, and he goes, women, vaishas, sudras, like that, still, if one takes full shelter of me, one can become purified. And Prabhupada explains in the purport that taking full shelter of Krishna means also taking shelter of his representative, which means following the instructions of the bona fide spiritual master who's coming in the unbroken chain of the disciplic succession. Then, of course, there's the famous verse from the Bhagavatam, Kirata Hunanda Pulinda Pulkasha Abhira Sumba Yavana Kasaraya Ye Ne Chapapa Yadapashraya Sraya Sujanti Tasmai Prabha Vishnave Namaha. That even if one is born in all these different, you know, races which are considered outside the Vedic system, such as the Yavanas and the Kasadas and so forth, that's named, the Abhiras, that Yene Chapapa, and others, it doesn't matter. Basically, it's basically saying that it doesn't matter what your birth is. Yene Chapapa, even if you're born in any sinful sort of a family, Yene Chapapa, Yadapashtraya Sraya, one who takes shelter of the representative of Krishna. Tasmanti, Sujanti Tasmai. That person becomes purified. Prabha Vishnave Namaha. By the inconceivable power of Vishnu, his representative is empowered and can purify even the most fallen, sinful, you know, people coming from the most fallen, sinful backgrounds. If they take shelter of a pure devotee of Krishna, they can become completely purified and be elevated to the highest platform of spiritual life. So I found there's a number of nice references I found. How am I doing for time, by the way? What time is it? Okay? 5 minutes. Okay. So I'll just read a few references about the importance of the position of the spiritual master, basically. So the first one is, Lord Shiva is having this discussion with his wife. She's asking questions. That's the Vedic system. The wife inquires from the husband, who's kind of like supposed to be more spiritually advanced and takes the role of a spiritual master. So she's asking, what's the best worship? So Lord Chaitanya's answer was, Aradhanam Sarvesham, of all types of worship, Vishnu Aradhanam Param. Too fast? Who did I say? Oh, Lord Vishnu, sorry, Lord Shiva, yeah. So Lord Shiva is instructing his wife Parvati that of all forms of worship, the best worship is the worship of Lord Vishnu. But then he goes on to say, in the next breath, he says, Tasmat parataram devi tadiyanam samacharam. But even more important than the worship, or more elevated than the worship of Lord Vishnu, is the worship of that which is in relationship to Vishnu, or in other words, the pure devotee. And Prabhupada said in an excerpt in a lecture he gave, he said, Vishnu Aradhanam is the best, but better than this best, there is another Aradhanam. What is that? Tadiyanam Aradhanam, to worship the Vaishnav. Vishnu Aradhana is the topmost, but Vaishnav Aradhana is still more. Narottam Das Thakur therefore says, Chadiya Vaishnava Seva Nistara Payeche Keva. The Vaishnav Aradhana is so important. Okay. And then there's this also, the same point was illustrated in the pastime of Lord Vishnu made a point of illustrating this point in the pastime with Devasa Muni when he offended Maharaj Ambarish. He was so powerful, this Devasa Muni, that he was able to actually go to the Vaikuntha planets and directly request forgiveness, shelter from Lord Vishnu. And Lord Vishnu, to once again emphasize this point, told him, oh, well, I'm sorry. There's nothing I can do. You offended a pure devotee, my pure devotee. And it's even beyond my power to forgive you. You have to go and get forgiveness from him. So, and by doing this, you know, Lord Vishnu or Krishna is making the point that not only is the devotee, and this now I'm reading from a purport from the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada says, not only is a devotee of the Lord more powerful than the Lord, but also worship of the devotee is considered more effective than direct worship of the Lord. And Prabhupada refers to this verse in the 11th canto, Madbhakta Puja Yadika, which basically says just that, that the worship of the devotee of the Lord is even more important or effective than worship of the Lord directly. And then then there's the pastime where this point comes up again, where you know, those two sons of Kuvera, Mana, was it Malakuvera and Manigriva, they were cursed by Narada Muni. And so Krishna, he took he made an arrangement by which the benediction, because Narada Muni, he cursed them, and there was a benediction too that they would be delivered by Krishna at some point in the future. They, you know, took, they cursed to take birth as trees, and then they would be delivered by Krishna. So it's pointed out that you know, Krishna always tries to make sure that the words of his devotees are fulfilled. So anyway, Prabhupada says here, he says that the Supreme Personality of Godhead wanted to fulfill the words of his very dear devotee Narada Muni. And Prabhupada makes this philosophical point. He says, if one seeks the favor of a devotee, instead of directly asking favors from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one is very easily successful. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura is therefore recommended, Vaishnava Thakura Tomada Kukura Bulia Janaha More. Krishna say Tomada Krishna Ditipada. One should desire to become like a dog and strictly following a devotee. Krishna is in the hand of a devotee, a Dorlabham Atma Bhakto. Thus, without the favor of a devotee, one cannot directly approach Krishna, what to speak of engaging in his service. Narottam Das Thakur therefore sings, Chadiya Vaishnava Seva Nishtara Paeche Keva. Unless one becomes a servant of a pure devotee, one cannot be delivered from the material condition of life. And Prabhupada goes on to say that this is referring to the Rupa, and this is related to Rupa Goswami's instruction of Ado Guru Varashaya. That means the first business is to take shelter of a guru, a bona fide spiritual master. And then, of course, in that song by Bhaktivinoda Thakura, it's referred to again that Krishna is yours, you're able to give him to me, for such is your power. So the spiritual master, or the pure devotee of Krishna, has the power to give Krishna to the disciple. And Prabhupada clearly said this in a lecture, once again in Mayapur in 1976. He goes, this is like, and just referring to Prahlad Maharaj too. Let's see where I'll start this. Okay, so this is Prahlad Maharaj speaking. He says, Sir, I am not inclined at all to go alone to Vaikuntha. I must take them all with me. Otherwise, I don't want. So this is Prahlad Maharaj speaking to Lord Nrisimhadev. So Prahlad Maharaj is a devotee. He can ask Krishna the power. Quote, give me such power that along with me I shall take all of them. Prabhupada goes, and that is Vaishnava. He can do so. Vaishnava Thakura Tomara Kukura Bolia Janaha More. Same quote again. Therefore, we have to become a dog to the Vaishnava. Chadiya Vaishnava Seva Nishta Paeche Keba. Without serving Vaishnava, nobody can be delivered, because he is so merciful, he can demand to Krishna, quote, please, on my sake, please excuse him. I'll take him with me, end quote. So Prabhupada goes, so Krishna grants him. All right, you take them. That is Vaishnava. So that's, you know, gives us some idea of the exalted position, the importance, the power of the pure devotee of Krishna that is actually able to you know, give one Krishna. You know, Krishna will cooperate with his desire. If the pure devotee wants somebody to go back to Godhead, then, you know, then Krishna goes, okay, if that's what you want, okay. And, yeah, so. on this last point, but it says, Prahlad provided a vivid example of how to think of the spiritual master and accept his directions calmly. So as far as on this last point of accepting the directions of the spiritual master calmly, I heard Prabhupada say in one lecture he gave in 1976 in New York on a Chaitanya Charitamrita, he actually went as far as to say, don't bother whether you'll be spiritually advanced or not, but take the word of the spiritual master and carry it. See, in other words, it's such a, you know, we shouldn't even be thinking, shouldn't even be concerned about, you know, am I getting a good result? Am I making progress? Then everything will happen, guaranteed. Just become focused on, you know, let me execute the instruction of my spiritual master. Whatever happens, okay, I'm prepared, you know. But I know the result, Prabhupada's guaranteed. Don't worry, the result will be good. So we shouldn't be, you know, just even worried, concerned like that. Just take the word of the spiritual master and carry it, and don't worry about anything else. Okay, stop there. Anybody have any questions about any of these points? Yeah, exactly. This is what we heard Prabhupada say yesterday in the class he was giving, that, you know, Krishna is like, there's no reason why Krishna is coming, but he's just doing, it's Leela, it's pastimes. In the same way, you know, Prahlad Maharaj was a pure devotee of Krishna, Nitya Siddha, Mahabhagavat, and basically, well, he was, you know, performing, it was for Krishna's pleasure, it's a pastime, but also in the execution of that pastime, so many valuable instructions are given for the, you know, for the conditioned souls all throughout the universe. I mean, this is something that happened many millions of years ago. I couldn't put a date on it, but, you know, but here we are, so many millions of years later, and we're benefiting from the instructions, from the whole, you know, pastime and the instructions that Prahlad Maharaj gave in devotional service so many millions of years later. So that's Krishna's, you know, plan behind his, you know, appearances in the material world and the appearances of the pure devotees. It's there for, you know, in their own, you know, leela, pastime, enjoyment, and at the same time to leave valuable instructions for the conditioned souls here in the, you know, who's striving to elevate themselves in devotional service. Okay? Anybody else? Yeah. Oh, tasmat, how's it go? Aradhananam sarvesham, Vishnu aradhananam padam, tasmat padatanam devi, tadiyanam samachanam. That is that Lord Shiva's, you know, replying to his wife, who asked, what's the best worship? And he said, of all forms of worship, the worship of Lord Vishnu is the topmost. But even more important than the worship of Vishnu is the worship of that which is in relationship to Vishnu, which is generally taken to mean the pure devotee of Krishna. And that you could find that many different places. Okay, thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.